cliffcentral.com.
Nothing wrong.
I don't see nothing wrong, baby.
See, this could be one of the greatest conception songs of all time.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with some bump but grind.
Yeah.
Pasta sanguine fin.
Ew. Oh my gosh.
Ain't seen nothing wrong.
Ew.
We're bordering on crossing very treacherous lines.
Yeah, we really have.
In so many ways.
Yeah. But R. Kelly, I mean, I know he had some sort of questionable sexual tendencies, but that guy's a talent, eh?
Yeah, look, R.
When
Kelly,
you look back,
he was an institution back in his day. Sure, he was a songwriter, producer, singer.
The ballads, the...
Yeah, I mean, he found nothing wrong with Bump and Grind. And he wasn't scared of the cheese, you know? I Believe I Can Fly.
Yes, he
did.
That was a big thing for a lot of people's lives.
I mean, he was kind of... He covered a wide range, you know, from sexual, sensual stuff to inspirational stuff. Didn't he dabble in a bit of gospel as well at a point?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, he went to church a lot.
He saved me.
Yeah.
He saved me.
He had a lot of bases covered.
I feel like he also did many a movie soundtrack. He did like Space Jam with I Believe I Can Fly, but I think he did like another major. What was it?
But he just seemed to have all the things.
Like,
these big songs. But like the whole 90s choreographed dance thing, I mean, that was like a movement in itself.
The 90s were his. Let's just put that down there.
At one point, he dubbed himself the Pied Piper of R&B. Because any R. Kelly song would get you up onto your feet and you would just follow the rhythm, man. You would just follow.
Anushka says that your dad, Sia, is the real OG. He did that damn thing.
He dipped it into it. He done did it.
Yeah. See how much more comfortable we are by talking about this now. It's Wednesday.
No.
On Monday, there was facial expressions of a derogatory nature. Now it's like, yep, that's what they did.
There still are. Wrong. But let's try to have a nice positive outlook on this, if there ever was.
All right. So, Gareth will be back tomorrow. First hour, he is with us. He's going to Amsterdam to go see Hi Rob. And I was just chatting with the team off air, thinking like, I think Gareth, you know, it's great what he's doing. He's going over there. Again, you can have your own views, and this is just mine. But we need some spicy stories. Like, we need some, like, Euro trip kind of stuff.
What is, give us an example of what a spicy Euro trip story would
be. Well, exactly. Like that movie, right? Euro trip.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
For those who haven't seen it.
Right. So, basically, these people graduate from college and they go to Europe and all hell breaks loose. They just end up in funny places. They party really, really hard. They end up in a Eastern European country. They meet Vinnie Jones. Like, shit gets real. And obviously there's drugs involved. Like, we've got things here, right? Gareth doesn't have to worry about anything. He must just go cut loose. I want to hear cut loose stories.
Well, to sort of side with him, I guess a part of it is the fact that he's actually there first and foremost on business, and he's with his manager as well. So it's not like, you know.
She, also, everyone cut loose.
Oh, she I, was also as well.
Don't see nothing wrong.
Look, now that they're done with the speaking circuit, as far as I understand it, maybe now he will cut loose. Exactly. I mean, maybe he arrived there and initially he thought, you know, well, I've got to be responsible because I've got to give this talk. And then also I've got to be able to get up early in the mornings to do the show. So maybe now that he'll be teaming up with Hi Rob. I mean, sure. Hi Rob.
Yeah, exactly. Rob's going to represent. I mean, Gareth gives me so much shit about being old and grumpy and grouchy.
Yeah, he does.
Imagine.
So I'm in a position, you know, cut loose.
And you know what? Gareth did say that he was joining the Sia bandwagon and also making this his year of yes.
Spot on, Mubs.
Just go for it.
In fact, Hi Rob, if you're listening right now, like, please plan something for Gareth. Like, just go mad.
Oh.
All right. So tomorrow, Thursday morning, be sure to listen to the first hour while we interrogate Gareth on what he's been up to. Hopefully a lot of good things. Or, you know what? Just go on social media. Follow him on Twitter, Instagram, whatever. And just bait him a bit, saying, so nice to see you in Europe. Can't wait to hear your stories about Amsterdam. But, like, put some real peer pressure on him.
I don't think we'll even manage to get Gareth on the line then tomorrow morning if it goes the way you want it to.
No, but he must still remain a professional. See, this is the whole thing. There's got to be balance.
No.
Come on, it's not too much to ask.
Professional and going wild, I mean, don't exactly fit in a sentence together.
Amanda, as the youngest, most outgoing of the crew here, I mean, it's a fair request, right, that I'm putting out there.
No, totally. But Ben, I actually wanted to say, I'm a little disappointed in you. Like, you said you went out last night, and then you left to go watch Sex and the City.
No, I left to go home, so I'm ready for the show. This is my major responsibility right now. When Gareth goes, I look after this desk and try to keep things together.
Also, Amanda, it took two beers, took Ben down. What did you want him to do? Did you want him to stay there and get into an even worse state by having a third beer? Then he wouldn't be here with us this
Amanda,
morning.
This is just madness that you're suggesting. Plus, there is something wrong if I'm looking for some bump and grind after that. I'm not about that life.
Amanda, do you look down on lightweights like Ben, who after two drinks, they're just down?
Yes.
Okay, look.
No,
again,
Amanda.
Again. I can drink a lot. It's just the next morning I'm not so great. Uh-huh. So I don't have two drinks and suddenly I'm a liability socially here.
In your crew, what's like the average drink?
Like number or?
Yeah, number for when you guys feel like, okay, we're cool, we're turned, we're in the mood now.
I would probably say about six.
Girl.
Yeah, you see, I was just going to say, Amanda, I'm going to ask you the same question in 10, 12 years time, yeah, and then your answer will be different. Again, I must just remind everyone that Amanda's liver is that fresh, brand new, out of the box liver that you see on the shelf.
New liver smell.
Man. You've got to take an essential every time before you go out, man.
Do you go out during the week as well?
I must say, I was having this conversation with someone yesterday. Since I've started like working here, it's changed. I don't go out in the week.
Look
at you growing up, responsibility.
So getting back to the messages here, Tabo says, Mabali, how dare you? R. Kelly was an institution back in the day. He was a living god. He is the R in R&B. Besides the terrible albums in the past few years, he is still a living legend, and I feel he doesn't get enough recognition. Ignition. In other news, I put that in there. In other news, I hope High Rob doesn't harvest Gareth's organs. Talbot, that's also a fair comment. I don't think High Rob's in the August harvesting just yet. I think he's still okay. I think if you become unemployed in Europe, that's where you go. So anyway, hey. But, you know, tomorrow, who knows? Harvested organs is now on the bill as well.
Okay, all right.
Tomorrow morning show, well, keep up. Greg says, good song, Sia. R. Kelly is the only man that can make a sex song from a packet of Lays.
I'm sorry, what?
When did you do that?
What? Lays, bump and grind, Lays. I don't know.
As
we need to explain that.
Greg, very cryptic. You've stumped us on that one. And then Migs has got a question.
Uh-huh.
Ben, would you rather be a Cliff Central sports personality, bounce or extraordinaire, slash aspiring TV critic with Daniela by your side, or the number two best golfer in South Africa, behind Gary Player. Top 20 golfer in the world. But, okay, so this is where the twist comes in. Would I rather have all the things going in my life that I currently have, which are very nice, or would I be the second best golfer behind Gary Player, a top 20 golfer in the world, but lack the time to join Gareth's endeavor and have never met Daniela? Oh, that's tough.
Oh, no.
So if I was amazing at golf, but I would never have you guys.
Oh, no, you can throw us in the trash.
I throw you guys in the trash.
I think Daniela is really the deal breaker there. Like the rest of us, who cares?
Yeah, I'll see, like with Daniela comes Mouses as well, so.
They're part and parcel.
I mean, this is actually quite a lot going on here.
Okay, so let's just make this about Daniela and Mouses. Forget the rest of us.
This is the toughest question, because if I was a top 20 golfer in the world, I would have probably about $100 million to my name minimum, right?
Okay.
I know. So now
suddenly the other side really does look green.
Wow.
It looks so green when you put it like that.
I will cry on my private jet.
Wow. I know what Daniela's saying. It's like, obviously take the money. That's what she's saying right now listening to this.
Oh, is she?
Yeah, it's just what she's saying. But then it's tough.
You're going to have to answer this. You're not getting off the hook. I mean, even if you need a couple of minutes to think about it and process it properly, but we will get an answer out of you.
Jeepers. That's a really good question. That really is so, so good. There's other messages, but I'll have to go on the spot. Wow.
If your net worth is $100 million.
No, at least. But I mean, you're like top 2 in the world, okay? So
yeah. But I mean, what I'm getting to is your net worth is $100 million. Mm-hmm. That kind of net worth attracts thousands of women who are 10s, 20s.
Yeah, we're not sounding too philosophical. I think if you're destined to be with someone, it will happen regardless of what you do. Yeah. So I'm going to take the money.
He's going to take the money. Yeah. Look,
I love you all.
No, dude. I think a lot of us would take the money. Like, that's just the honest truth.
Yeah. And then some other guy who would then take on my current life would then be talking about me here in the studio. Saying South African golfer Ben Kopinski did really well in the US Open, so much so that Gary Player sent him a personalized message and then he won the trophy.
Yeah.
And then you'd be like, that guy, wow, he's living the life, huh? How much money did he win? And then like me, the other Ben now, will be like, yeah, he won like $2 million and you should see his girlfriend Daniela. She's also South African. See, because then it would, yeah. Anyway.
Oh, full so circle. You found a way to do. Make sure that Daniela is still in the picture. That's sneaky.
Vince says, R. Kelly is also a great porn star. And he loves pissing on girls. Yeah, he is the best. Yes, yeah. Vince.
That's where the problem
came
in.
He's an all-rounder, you see. He's a musical god, according to Tabo. But then, you know, he also had stories surrounding, you know, activities he may or may have not had with underage girls and just a lot of kinky stuff that he likes to do in the bedroom. So, yeah, he's got all the bases covered.
Yeah, and then Greg's elaborating on his Lay's comment. He says, read the Lay's comment. The man could make a sexy song out of anything, basically. That's what I thought. Yeah.
Okay. And then he moves like he made us sing about the storm being over, and we were all up on that. He did Trapped in the Closet. He made like 12 songs out of being trapped in a closet. Hey guys,
didn't he have an album called Black Panties?
Yeah, that was one of the recent sad ones. I mean, Robert Kelly, you just need to calm yourself down now.
And then a message from Denver saying, good morning, guys. Best show ever after Aranya FM. That's, I think, what they call a backhanded compliment. Mm. And then I got another message from my mother.
Oh, okay.
She's putting work into this whole song conception thing. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to read it. Like, I've got much to hide from you guys.
Oh, no.
Okay, just Googled March 1981 Hit Parade. So I was born in December 1981, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she says, this is Leslie Kopinska, can't honestly say anything jumps out. In fact, most of the music is awful.
Oh.
Can't believe Status Quo and Roxy Music still hit the charts. Jackson 5 was around, Stevie Wonder, but nothing specific.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a great idea with the music and a good talking point. I didn't check what the SA music charts were. Well, back in 1981, who knows what was going on there. Okay, so while my mother keeps playing on with this, I think we should get into some news. Later on, we do have another one of Gareth's interviews around the whole Father's Day theme. Sia, what's going on today with the interview?
Yes, so Gareth is chatting to Sipho Mbele this morning. He's an author, he's an actor, and he's a true, just a down-to-earth South African guy. You know, the book that he's written retells his experiences and encounters based on him growing up as a young boy and how he used to view women and what it meant to be a man and how that has morphed and changed as he is now a young man himself. He also speaks about finding his father at the age of 26 and how that has now impacted and changed his life as he's now a husband and a father today. So very, very interesting.
Yeah, like I was saying yesterday, there's a really great selection of people who are, you know, putting up this whole Father's Day theme with Gareth.
Oh, yeah.
And there's still Trevor Gumby to come?
Yes. The Lindsay's on Thursday and Trevor Gumby on Friday.
All right. So we'll bring you the interviews we've been talking about at around 8 o'clock if you are listening live. Otherwise, if you are listening on podcast, that'll be part of part 3. But hey, we're in part 2. And that means Mabali Maloy has more about what's happening in the world.
All right. So our good friend, Justice Malala, on this show, he's a man of many talents, right? He's a political commentator. He's a renowned journalist. Some think that he's also a bounty hunter. He's also a columnist, right? He writes a lot of columns for various publications. And in the last couple of days, Justice has kind of grabbed news headlines for his latest article that he has published.
Well, Justice says some very controversial things.
Justice says a whole range of things. Some people agree with the things that he says. Sometimes people completely disagree with him.
Mm. He's very irresponsible. He uses facts. He talks without emotion. Yeah, that's our Justice.
Well, have a listen to this latest release. He writes, "The men and women who run our country, that means the Gupta Mafia family and their minions, Jacob Zuma and his captured crew, want you to believe that the leaked emails that expose the extent of their corruption are fake. Believe me, those 200,000 emails are authentic. I know. How? Because I appear in them." Mm. Yes, Justice Malala appears in the Gupta emails. He then goes on to tell a story that began back on February the 12th. It was a Friday, as he writes, last year, months before he knew that the Gupta family had contracted the notorious British PR firm Bell Pottinger to be its Goebbels, Justice says.
Mm.
"I received a strange request from the London firm. A woman named Victoria Naylor Leland sent an email saying that an anonymous corporate client wanted to be interviewed by a credible journalist and for the interview to be posted online and across social media, as well as being made available to news outlets and broadcasters. The interview would receive a light edit. The woman tracked down the agent who handles all my non-journalistic corporate work. There was a snag, though. Who is this nameless corporate client? My agent asked. The PR firm would not tell us. No go, we said. I don't work for people I don't know, and I don't agree to things while blindfolded, Justice said.
Ooh.
It was a Friday evening, and he was on a farm in the Free State when all of this began. Naylor Leland said that she would disclose the name of the client if Justice signed a non-disclosure agreement, which was then emailed to his agent. He attached his signature and then he waited. The following day, an email came through from Bell Pottinger. It said, in reference to the deed of undertaking assigned today, or rather undertaking signed today, I confirm that the client I am arranging a video interview for is none other than Mr. AJ Gupta.
Hmm.
So Justice sighed as he read this. I have written extensively about the Guptas and their corruption over the past 7 years. I dedicated a whole chapter to them in my book, We Have Now Begun Our Descent, which was released late last year. I knew what was going on with their request. They wanted an interview conducted by a credible journalist, but they would have control over who it went to, how it was released, and how it was spun. They wanted to whitewash themselves using my name. He immediately fired an email back to Naylor Leland. This is what it said in full. Thanks very much for this. I cannot do this for pay. It clashes directly with everything I do. I had thought this was a corporate client, not a client in the sphere of my daily political journalism work. I am happy to interview your client on my show, The Justice Factor, for the usual 30 minutes or an extended show for an hour."
Hmm.
So you see, Ben, when Justice is flying on the spot from Joburg to Cape Town or Durban, when he is missing in action on a morning that he told us that he would be in, this is what this man is dealing with in his life. He is busy turning down requests by Bell Pottinger to interview their clients, the Guptas. I mean, that's just another day in the life of Justice Malala.
Mm.
I'm sure we can ask him more questions about it on this coming Thursday when he joins us. I hope he's joining us.
Oh, yeah.
But that's just that is just Justice in a nutshell, right? The guy's got morals, he's got standards, he's got ethics, and he will always stand by that. Like, that's just who he is.
Yeah.
And he's such an inspiration for many journalists and just generally people all in South Africa. And this is a guy you get to listen to every single week here on Cliff Central.
Mm-hmm. Now, this article that he wrote is, you know, more detailed. So I just gave you a little bit of that, that little bit that I just read for you, taken from the heraldlive.co.za. You can also access it through Times Live if you want to. So, yeah, Justice, you know, and his dealings with Bell Pottinger and the Guptas.
So on the note of emails, you know, at least we can feel bad for Justice and empathize there. How about with the rich and famous people? We never just actually like care much. So a couple of months ago, I remember I even brought this up about Johnny Depp's weird spending habits.
What was weird about his spending habits again?
I mean, can't remember. He had like this monthly retinue of things that just was ridiculous, from like fine art to wine to loads of houses. Yeah, he owns a lot of properties and he fills them with very expensive things.
So the idea now is Johnny Depp is currently suing his management team about the mismanagement of his money. He says that they haven't taken special attention in managing his finances well. And so this is why he's now in debt. He owes like money on some credit cards, his bank accounts. There's one particular bank account. So that's $4 million overdrawn. And by the way, just to refresh your memories, Johnny Depp has over 14 residences around the world, which are valued at over $75 million. He has over 45 luxury cars, a 150-foot yacht valued at $18 million. He does not want, he refuses to fly anything other than private, which costs him about $200,000 a month. He has over 70 collectible guitars, spends over $30,000 a month on wine alone.
Oh, so he drinks a
just
lot.
Getting wine flown over to him wherever he is in the world.
He's one of those Ponzi guys that'll talk about a chateau in France that he's got the 64 Merlot from.
Oh my gosh.
He won't drink it. He'll just talk about it while casually touching his bracelets and flicking his hair.
Yeah.
But didn't he allegedly also have a bit of a drug problem? I'm sure he's flushed tons of money down the drain on his
addictions.
And
you wonder, when someone has 40 full-time employees, including security in that, and costs them over $300,000 a month, of course you're spending recklessly as well on drugs and things like that. Well, you know, he's now moved. He's grown up a bit. He has, you know, teenage kids. Maybe he's responsible in that way. And granted, he's also spent over like $10 million just on helping family and friends out, which I kind of think is cool, though. But on the topic of emails, emails have now been released between Johnny Depp and his management team. And Johnny kind of gets, you know, like almost screw you. Like, remember that I'm the superstar here with his management team. So these are direct quotes from the emails. This one he sent in particular to Joel, his manager. And he says, "Dear Joel, first, thank you for dealing and getting me through. But secondly, I'm doing my very best on holiday spending," because he was told to cut down on ridiculous things like holidays. He says, "but my kids and family need a good a Christmas as possible, obviously within reason." What's your reason, Johnny Depp? Like, you know, for us, it's just a little short left and we're all on a budget. You are definitely not on a budget.
I guess easy to take pot shots to these guys, and we generally do. But again, it's like, what's your reality in life? What are you used to? What's relative? How do you tell someone like this to cut back in expenditure when all they've done is basically, I mean, Johnny Depp lives in a dream world more than any other actor, right? All the Sweeney Todd strange movies, Pirates of the Caribbean. You know, he's never
Alice in Wonderland.
He's a little left of left center, right?
Yeah, so these are the few points that I love in this email. This is back in 2009, and he says, "Regarding the plane situation, I don't have all that many options at the moment. A commercial flight with paparazzi in tow would be a fucking nightmare of monumental proportions."
Fair point. Imagine him standing in a line at an airport. Airports are horrible anyway.
Yeah.
But listen,
and he would slow down the queue,
yeah,
which would be very frustrating for airport officials because, you know, they're trying to get people on board. And meanwhile, there's a whole crowd getting in the way of passengers being able to do that because they want to take a selfie with Johnny Depp.
This is when you've employed 40 people. You get 12 of them at the airport with you to ensure that maybe someone is standing in line with you. You move past, even book the entire, you know, first class suite. But dude, like, you need to cut down on spending. On that, he says, "Maybe you can forget the auction. I don't need it. But I'll be starting the tourist on or about the 15th of Feb, which will be 20 million. Then I virtually go straight into Pirates 4 for 35 million. And then I turn into Dark Shadows for another 20 million. So that is how he says, screw it, I'm still going to carry on spending. And that's the income that's coming in. So he says, "Yo, what else do you want? What else can I do? You want me to sell some art? I will. You want me to sell something else? Sure. I have some semblance of a soul left. Where would you like me to start?" So he's kind of actually ticked off. Listen, when you're accustomed to this sort of lifestyle, I don't really blame you. But this is such a bizarre reality. Just, this is his normal conversation saying, "I have 20 million, 35 million, and another 20 million coming in this year alone. So don't tell me to cut down on $30,000 a month on wine."
But aside from that, I think that a lot of us have one two, three, 10 things that we would all like to indulge in.
Ooh.
The problem is that most of us don't have Johnny Depp kind of money.
Yeah.
But if you had Johnny Depp kind of money, I'm pretty sure you would find yourself spending money on some of the dumbest stuff out there. Just because the money is available.
But this completely. Is exactly dumb, hey? It's just like in excess.
Well, it's indulging. It's indulging. That's what it is.
It's befitting a life that he has become accustomed to, which he probably believes and can justify makes him the actor that he is.
But what do you do with 14 houses, Ben? I get maybe 5 you in get amazing lost in locations.
That's why he always looks so vacant, because he never knows where he is.
But I mean, 14 houses, that's 14 property investments. That's what that's true. Making money for you.
70 that, guitars?
That's a way of making... No, I mean,
that's
70
how you make friends and musicians.
70.
And then you spend over $10 million on them. Hey, let's see how this goes. But Johnny, dude, nice life problems.
Speaking of what actresses, although everyone's just an actor right now, right? There's no other categories.
Depends, yeah.
Okay.
They can be whatever they want.
You're trying to be politically correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
I saw that. I'm good at that. What do you reckon Gal Gadot got paid for Wonder Woman? You just mentioned all of Johnny Depp's massive fees.
Mm.
All right, so...
This is a Wonder Woman actress.
Which is a big movie. By all counts, she nailed it.
She's not exactly an A-list to the level of, say, somebody like... okay, I was going to say...
Jennifer Lawrence.
Jennifer Lawrence, Sandra Bullock.
She's been cat piss in that movie for years now.
I mean, catnips?
Catniss.
She's
catniss.
Catniss, yeah.
Tight leather suit.
Yeah.
Mini sequels.
Ooh,
money.
I'm going to guess that Gal Gadot got 12 to 15 million.
Henry Cavill is Superman, right?
Yes, he is.
He got 14 million for being Superman.
Oh, I would have thought that he would get higher.
Yeah. Gal Gadot got $300,000.
No.
$300,000, Wonder Woman.
No, what?
Yeah.
That is crazy.
It is crazy, but...
See?
If you look at who the guy who played Captain America, Chris Evans, he got a similar paycheck, right?
Yeah.
300,000.
Robert Downey Jr., bajillions. This is how it works. So if you go into these franchises and you're not the biggest name, you'll get around that.
Mm.
Gal Gadot is said to make a lot of money, Wonder Woman 2, Wonder Woman when it reaches certain bonuses, but still, $300,000 to me seems really low.
It is very low considering that kind of money that this movie is going to make.
I want Henry Cavill and Christian Bale to pay me for watching Batman vs. Superman.
Oh, wow.
I don't know why you think you need to be paid.
Because that was a pile of shit. That was an absolute pile of shit. And you know what made even worse? A couple of weeks ago, I was in hospital with Daniela, okay, and she fell asleep on my arm. She's not feeling very well. I'm not going to wake her up. And the channel and the remote was on the other side. And the channel stuck was Batman Superman.
Yeah.
I was forced to watch an hour of that until she woke up. And I was like, she's like, oh, what are you doing? I was like, I'm in agony. That movie was shit. And those guys get paid a lot of money. Gal Gadot, $300,000. So if Wonder Woman 2 comes out, and by all counts, it's quite a thing. It's been a really great movie. And it's a really great superhero right now because people are trying to push the whole superhero female genre. I mean, that Ghostbusters was a pile of crap, but people are trying at least to do things. There's that Ocean's
567?
With the 3.2. All female.
All I know is Rihanna is in that movie. If
Rihanna's in it, then it's a big deal. So Wonder Woman has not made Gal Gadot rich now, but it may make her rich in future. But still, Henry Cavill's Man of Steel got him $14 million. And Johnny Depp was what for Pirates of the Caribbean?
Oh, yeah, 20.
That's becoming more of a joke than Fast and Furious right now with all the different sequels.
Yeah, but there's levels to this thing in Hollywood. Gal Gadot, I'm sorry, I don't know how to pronounce your surname. Yeah. She's still climbing that ladder.
See, but here's the thing. I was also thinking that as well, because there are different sides to this. Okay, granted, you get $300,000 for a relatively unknown, let's be honest, her name wasn't in our average celebrity vocab before this, but she's been in Batman vs Superman, Dawn of Something, Justice, I think. She's been in Justice League before. She's been in Fast 5 back in 2011. So she's been in her fair share of big mainstream movies. So I think you could have bumped the cheese up on that. But I guess as well, you can never truly anticipate how big a movie will do. And of course, this has surpassed any sort of expectation. So you can't exactly change the fee now. But what's certain... Well,
there is a bonus structure coming in, and Twitter actually announced this is the most tweeted about movie this year, yeah. more so than La La Land and Beauty and the Beast.
Which makes
La
sense.
La La Land was a pile of trash, and I haven't even watched it.
But you see, my thing is, often actors also have some sort of deal or clause in their contract that says, I'll get X percentage from ticket sales or DVD sales. Yeah. And she didn't get that in her deal. So I think you actually also should have spoken to your team about it, getting a better deal for you.
Especially with this whole superhero thing.
Yeah, this is why your manager / agent has to be, they have to be ruthless at negotiating.
Exactly.
I mean, you look at guys like Robert Downey Jr. and Will Smith and your Tom Cruises.
Yeah, they...
I mean, they're at the level ruthless. Where they're not only getting paid to be in the movie, but they get a cut of the profits that the movie earns.
Exactly.
Now, so Jack Nicholson was one of the first guys that did this, right? He was the Joker in the original Batman, whatever Batman he was in.
Mm-hmm.
And he made so much money on that because of how he structured his paid deal.
Yeah.
Because he knew the thing was going to be a success because he was now the Joker.
Mm-hmm.
It was going to be the biggest Batman movie they've had yet. Because, I mean... Michael Keaton or some other douchey guy was Batman before that. It really wasn't a big deal. But Jack saw all the potential here. And he said, cool, percentage. And he made so much money.
Yeah.
But like more than you could ever imagine.
See, on top of that, it's also a fictional franchise, which means, of course, there'll be Wonder Woman costumes, toys, duvet covers, DVDs. Like, girl, you could be on in that action because they're using your image now.
Yeah,
you could have cut something
exactly.
to get a percentage out of that.
Like the Star Wars people as well, right? When Star Wars first started, they thought it was a bit of a joke.
Mm.
Carrie Fisher herself said, we battle to keep a straight face with a lot of the dialogue because it just sounded like a joke and this is going to be a one movie thing.
Yeah.
And Lucasfilms or whatever, all the merchandising, they made so much money.
See?
And they were given a few dollars here and there.
And on top of that, wasn't she pregnant during filming? You were
this
telling
is another
me
thing
that.
About the story about Gal Gadot, right? $300,000.
I would have bumped that cheese up. I'm like,
5 months pregnant. You know, everyone lost their shit about Serena Williams winning Australian Open with like a little bit of pregnancy.
Yeah.
Gal Gadot, 5 months in.
Wow.
And she kept it a complete secret because she didn't want any special treatment.
But also, she probably didn't want it to be a potential risk to her role.
Yeah.
And... because imagine you're directing a movie and then you hear that your lead actress is 5 months pregnant. You're likely to think, no, replace her immediately. So yeah.
What's Jennifer Lawrence doing?
Ben?
I'm
okay with you attacking Jennifer Lawrence. That woman just does nothing for me.
Gosh.
My mother actually hates her.
She's so bland.
It's the weirdest thing.
Everything about her is completely bland.
I agree with you. My mother really dislikes her. It's so odd. My mother's a sweet woman, but she was on Graham Norton the other day. And my mother's like, oh, that bitch. She's got really just
to her.
Turns her up the wrong way for some reason.
I'm really not peeping what she's done, but I think she's just had a career with perfect opportunities. Like when you look at her acting, if you gave her like a challenge of shave your hair, gain weight, and you will be a drug addict, I don't think she'd be convincing.
She was in that Silver Linings Playbook, one of the shittest movies ever.
She just got the right roles at the right time. Yeah. That's all it was. But you know, back on Gal Gadot, I believe in equality. You know, I believe everyone should get equal opportunities. We're all the same, blah, 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 blah. But at the same time, I think use what makes you different to your advantage. So I think playing the woman card sometimes isn't bad. Mm-hmm. And playing the, well, I'm pregnant card isn't bad to a certain extent. Not to the point where you're kicked off cast. But then, you know, demand a body double, demand a trailer. Oh, you can only work certain amount of hours because you're pregnant. Like, girl.
But people are saying her performance is really great. So maybe it's because the fact that she was pushing through despite the pregnancy, right?
Mm-hmm.
If it was something that she was conscious of and had these things, she might have come across as a bit Jennifer Lawrence-ish.
Yes, but honey, now your ink has dried on the contract and you're not going to get anything else out of this deal. So
everyone loves her now more than ever. The fact that she's like this Israelian hottie and now she was pregnant and she got paid like very little. Everyone loves this woman. She can do no wrong.
Actually, yeah. Look at how it's now spinning in her favor. Now everyone is amazed at, and she was 5 months pregnant. Yeah. How's that for a PR story?
I say sign up with the beauty company, endorse something for a major paycheck. Because right now, this is Hollywood. So probably there's a Wonder Woman deal where, you know, the second one is also signed on the same basis. So she probably doesn't have negotiating power as well much.
Look, in Hollywood, a lot of people want to be seen to be associating with whoever is doing well. Mm. And right now, Gal Gadot has a lot of good things happening for her. So I'm pretty sure there are a lot of deals that are going to come her way simply from people wanting to be seen to be associating with her.
Yeah.
I think she'll be perfectly fine.
I saw a great picture on the internet of the weekend. It was her and her husband. They were just chilling at home and her husband's got a shirt and it's like there's two pictures. Mm-hmm. The one's like your wife and it's like an average woman. And then there's a picture of Wonder Woman. It's like my wife.
What? Take it. Yeah. Own it. Rub it in all their faces. Do it.
Okay. So some more serious news now. The Ken doll has been remodeled.
On social media Tuesday, you may have noticed that Barbie's longtime boyfriend Ken got a major makeover, and now he only eats organic, loves cold brew coffee, and has a man bun. But hipster isn't Ken's only new look. Mattel announced on Tuesday the expansion of its Barbie Fashionista line with 15 new Ken dolls in three body types, slim, broad, and original, aka slightly buff. The new doll comes in 7 skin tones, 8 hair colors, a variety of eye colors, and 9 hairstyles, including that man bun. But sadly, it's plastic and can't be styled like his bae's mane. Barbie's boo also got a fashion facelift. The Hollywood Reporter's style and beauty destination Preta Reporter's own Stephanie Chan reviewed Ken's hot new transformations. So let's take a look at some of her notable style picks. The 15 new Ken dolls sport a variety of looks, including a red plaid shirt with slim black pants, a collared white shirt with a skinny black tie and gray trousers, and a bro-y millennial pink California tank with white shorts pink and slip-on Vans-style sneakers. Chan writes, "The makeovers are long overdue, though it's interesting that Ken is completely devoid of facial hair and tattoos, both of which are major men's trends. Also, the fashion looks suggest Ken hangs out in a pretty lax workplace, or he's just your average 20-something in 2017 who works at a startup. Or still lives at home. I'm a 20-something, I can say that." The expansion is part of Mattel's effort to be more racially diverse, reflecting demographic trends. In 2016, Ken's other half, Barbie, was introduced in 3 new body types, curvy, tall, and petite, 7 skin tones, 22 eye colors, and 24 hairstyles. According to Barbie history, Ken and B met on the set of a TV commercial in 1961 and have been inseparable ever since. The Ken Fashionista line is now available for $9.99 each at Barbie.com. So how do you feel about Ken's makeover? Sound off in the comments.
Seriously, these still a thing? Do kids even care about dolls? Like, by the time they get to a point where they care about the Fashionista line, they're already onto phones and tablets.
I have no idea because I don't know what young kids these days care about.
We need a full-time 8-year-old in the show.
Yeah, we do.
I've been saying it for
Ooh, Ben,
now.
How please rephrase how you said that. Please just do it. Just rephrase.
We need an 8-year-old's opinion on the show.
There we go. As someone with a five-year-old niece and a five-year-old nephew, the Barbie thing isn't exactly the biggest trend to them. It's more about like the cartoons that they watch and they want the Barney Bear or the Doc McStuffins whatnot. I don't know. You know, Barbie, I think, is just working off the legacy of what Barbie was in the heyday, not necessarily now. Like, do you really think a 5-year-old who will end up chewing the head off and decapitating the doll cares whether the Ken doll has tattoos or no mustache or whatever the case is? No,
the kid doesn't. To your point of the whole racial diversity thing, which, by the way, can we just admit that when a business or a company says that they're trying to be racially inclusive, that is just a marketing line that they've been fed and they were told, just tell them this so that they'll buy into the bullshit.
It makes you go, but at the same time, if they don't do it,
profits,
it makes you go.
It's about profits and it's about money. And these companies know that the parents of these children care about the fact that Barbie or Ken come in 7 different shades because they like the idea that when they're shopping for their kid, they're going to pick that doll for their kid. The kid doesn't care. The parents care.
I know my sister specifically set out to do that for my niece. She was like,
it's all about tapping into the parents' way of thinking. But yeah, again, you're not going to please everyone. So somebody's already complaining about the fact that, but why doesn't he have a beard?
Well, that's why they released 26 different...
But are they all called Ken?
Well, that's the brand, isn't it?
I feel like I'm missing something here. Like, is this Ken's friend? So, again, there's conflicting articles around this. Yes, I've Googled this. But,
just the same way you Googled breatharianism.
You're doing research. It's good.
Yeah, but like, there's just so many different people, which is cool because it's nice to have friends in life. It shows you're socially adjusted, but there's like all kinds of different people. And I totally get it. Like, as a child, you want to relate to something, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can't relate to a tall guy with blonde hair. That's not me.
I don't know, Ben. Did you care as a child who you related to?
I had no idea. I thought growing up, because I didn't have toys, I had the wilderness.
Yes.
I thought Ken was actually like a made-up thing. I knew what Barbie dolls were, because obviously people spoke about Barbie dolls. I thought people were laughing when there's a boy equivalent.
Oh.
Because
and then people were making jokes like, you know, why doesn't Barbie have any kids? It's because Ken can't... I've messed that up.
Ken's con... What?
Oh, here we go.
Okay. I'm going to back out of that joke. I've ruined it.
No. Come on, Ben.
Well,
you can do it.
Here's something over WhatsApp. So I heard that divorce Barbie's coming out. It comes with Ken's house, car, and half of what he's worth. Let's see, that's better.
And listen, what world does Barbie live in? Like, she's a waitress, but she has a car and a house and a...
Have you seen Barbie
and
Beach
appliances?
House?
No. And a beach house?
I mean, if they want to go after tax fraud, leave Mourinho and Ronaldo alone. It's Barbie.
That girl, I mean, we need to know how she makes her money.
She's like, she's making coffee and then she's got a convertible and a house, jet skis.
Oh my
and
gosh.
How does Barbie work without any elbows? She doesn't have elbows.
She doesn't seem like
her
she can do much. You're
bend,
right.
But
you're
how
right.
does she work and how she
Which means she's delegating, which means she's a madam. There's a lot going on here.
Why are you saying Barbie's like a pimp?
See, this is why I was a terrible child, because I've been thinking like this since I was like two. That's why I couldn't do kid well.
No. Had like a brothel.
Well, guys, we got just on that whole...
Barbie's Brothel. That's a new franchise.
That's the one my buddy got when she was a kid. That's why she has these madam aspirations. So I got a very long message here around... it's from Anonymous. That didn't leave a name here. It's got to do with the whole pay gap. So basically, there is no gender gap in this whole superhero thing. It's just got to do with individual movies. Now, this message is... bigger than my hand on a screen. It's huge. I appreciate whoever wrote this, but I'm not going to get through all of it. But just to give an example, Chris Hemsworth, who, together with David Beckham, is probably the sexiest man on earth.
Oh, that Hemsworth family.
See, exactly. Say his name.
Sorry, never mind.
He got $200,000 for the first Thor movie, right? Chris Evans, as I said earlier, for Captain America, he got $300,000. The first Avenger, Chris Pratt, he got $350,000 for Guardians of the Galaxy. Paul Rudd, he got $300,000 for Ant-Man. So the list goes on. Basically, there wasn't a lot of money in these first things. Tom Hiddleston got $150,000 for Avengers. But he also got a date with Taylor Swift.
Hey, yeah.
Only $150,000, hey?
Robert Downey Jr., what he got for the first Iron Man, $500,000. So, basically, you build your way into it. He's disputing the whole Henry Cavill $14 million, but that's what everyone's saying.
Mm.
Anyway, so these films then go on to gross a whole bunch of money, and so this is the norm.
You work your way to the top. It's no different in Hollywood.
Yeah. And then Roscoe wants to know, Sia, do you know how many Barbie DVD and theme movies there are?
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, a lot.
So freaking many, because my niece went through that phase, but and I'm so glad she's out of it. But there's a Christmas DVD, Yendo.
Yeah.
Barbie's now a little fairy, and Barbie's in Wonderland, and yeah.
Well, Roscoe believes that kids will sell their parents for some of these toys, and Roscoe's profile picture is him with a small child.
So he knows.
Roscoe, watch out. That kid looks sweet now, but when Barbie releases Barbie's new summer playhouse, yep, yeah, getting sold.
And it really
organ harvesting.
You know, over the long weekend when I was with my niece and nephew, I was stuck watching the Disney Channel with them. And you realize...
It's tough, yeah. Those high-pitched voices.
Firstly, it's a lot to take in. But secondly, there are so many things being sold to these kids. And like right on cue after every commercial, they jump up, they'd be excited, they'd ask for something because it's a toy. It's a new DVD. It's a new... You know, Disney's coming to your local mall. It's like there's so much being sold to us. Like,
I
It's a whole commodity.
I shudder at the thought of how much money parents spend just on children's toys.
Mm. And if you don't, you're a bad parent.
You are a bad parent.
Those two words, bad and parent, you don't want that.
You're left with a screaming child throwing a tantrum in the aisle at a toy store. What are your chances of getting out of that store without having spent money?
Yeah, I'm surprised you don't see more people dressed in Mickey Mouse costumes getting beaten up. Like a parent's there and Mickey's like, hey, kids, just get the new toy.
Mickey in the
and
nose.
You're like, you. It's because of you, I don't play golf anymore. And then he just rips the guy's head off. Like, screw you, Mickey.
And I'm sorry, but it is criminal what some of these toys cost. It's just criminal is what it is.
It is. I mean, we're not even talking about the child labor from Asia that made the toy. It's just criminal what the markup is.
Well, there you go. Listen, we mentioned Carrie Fisher earlier, right? When we were talking about movies.
Yes. She passed away, what, last year?
It was last year.
Around Christmas
time. Just before Christmas, I think.
Princess Leia.
So an autopsy report on Carrie Fisher now shows that she had taken a variety of drugs.
Oh, no, she didn't. She was a princess. She's no such thing.
For her death. Officials from the coroners have ruled that the Star Wars actress died from sleep apnea, but did not state whether the narcotics that were found in her system were among the other factors. It is a new toxicology reading which suggests that Ms. Fisher took cocaine 3 days before a flight on December the 23rd, where she became ill and then was taken to hospital. The report also says that trace elements of heroin, other opiates, and MDMA were found in her system.
That's quite a party going on there.
That's quite a night out.
When heroin gets into the mix, that's... I mean, you know, like when Sia crosses the line, often in conversation?
Yeah.
When you go from any drug to heroin.
Yeah. The report says that Carrie suffered what appeared to be a cardiac arrest on the airplane, accompanied by vomiting, and with a history of sleep apnea. Based on available toxicological information, they could not establish the significance of the multiple substances that were detected in her blood and tissue with regard to the cause of death. So they're saying, yes, there were all these substances in her system, but they're not saying it was these substances that caused her death. They're saying they can't establish the significance of the substances being there. And then also the death.
But they're acknowledging them, which, you know, the whole smoke, this fire thing.
What I'm surprised by is, given the amount of druggery and drinkation that happens.
Drinking.
See, are you on drugs? Jeepers, are you got this cocktail going through your system?
I am surprised by the druggery and drinkation that happens in Hollywood, that these celebrities don't have these incredibly tight... Would it really factor into your will per se, but some sort of legal document that binds people to protect your legacy or to protect you, not even in your death, but if you are passed out on a plane? Like, shouldn't you have some sort of clause with your assistant that like, hey, if I am Prince and I'm ever found passed out in my home or passed out from drugs, you clean up the scene, you know, at least sit me upright and say I got knocked out after eating
cereal. Why you got to have a Ray Donovan, basically. That's why that show is significant.
I'm actually surprised, because there's so many of these instances. You say, oh, Carrie Fisher, Princess Leia, you're amazing. Then we now find out you're in heroin and, you know.
But I don't know that your will would override or supersede the coroner's report, especially in the case where an investigation had to be conducted. So if a celebrity drops dead and the death is suspicious, then there is an actual police investigation that gets opened.
And you can't exactly pay the police to keep quiet.
Well, this is what I'm saying, is I don't know that a final will and testament would override results from that police investigation being released.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's tricky.
I mean, I just put this out on record? Maybe this will be my audio will. But party people, if any of you ever find me, if I die like on the toilet, or if I die, you know, in the shower, can you at least put some clothes on me and say like I slipped in my bedroom, like for dignity's purposes?
I think also like paramedics, police, all that kind of stuff, they are... Okay, you don't want to tamper with like a crime scene, perhaps. Yeah. But if it's a situation like that, I think they all are encouraged to do that.
But I mean, the indignity of, you know, at my funeral, and say, Sia was a loving person. We found him dead on the toilet. Like, come on, guys. Can you at least lie and say, You know, he was saving a little kitten in the tree next door. That's how he died. Something or the other.
Like Elvis, when he died in the toilet.
You know, we think Elvis, you legend, and then that's how you ended your life. Shame.
Yeah, fat on the toilet with a sandwich.
Did he have a sandwich as well?
Well.
Okay, it just fits the entire image.
Put it this way, a lot of sandwiches got him onto the toilet, so it wouldn't be completely inconceivable to find him with that.
Oh, well, celebrity legacy.
All right, so we got Gareth Slater's sort of Father's Day interview coming up just after 8 o'clock. We've still got one more song for what Sia was conceived to. And then after that, we've still got a whole bunch of stories to get through, which we haven't got to today. So that'll be an hour three, part three of listening on podcast. Now, the troubling thing with Sia's selection for songs that he thought he was conceived to is that most of them are very, very boring.
Sia, let's put a disclaimer as to why.
I've been trying to find some of the songs that you think you might have been conceived to, and it's not easy.
It's a freedom baby, exactly.
But Sia's birth must have been quite...
My birth or my conceived?
Sia, you know, the whole thing. No. The whole thing, no surprise, was quite a song and dance, so only
so,
fitting.
So you were conceived in April 94?
Yes.
Okay, that's why he says that he's a freedom baby.
Yeah.
So
94 was a big year.
Democracy, you probably straight after my parents voted for the first time. They're like, yes!
So basically, freedom was coming at this stage, right? Yeah. So it's
Do
only
you think
fitting.
That's what my dad said. Never mind, sorry.
Again with the levels. You can sit back and you always okay. take it there.
Okay. I'm keeping quiet for the rest of the morning.
So as that was kind of the thing, Sia believes another song that could be in the mix for his conception act was Serafina's Freedom is Coming. So we're going to play that. And then on the back of that, Gareth Slater's Father's Day interview. And then you can catch us back with some more news and thingies, third hour.
This is the day. You better believe it. I'll be there. This is my
home. Oh yeah, this sounds sexy.
And I'm home to stay.
Yes.
Oh yeah. This is probably sexier than R. Kelly.
CliffCentral.com.